Well, hey there, Cambridge. This is Cambridge Inside Out. And this guy right here, is Robert Winters. Hello. And with me tonight.
And I am Patrick Barrett. First time on the show. Thanks a lot, Robert. I'm very excited.
Well, you're better than last time when you stood me up. Just kidding.
Hey, don't hate the play. I hate the game. I was held behind due to intense negotiations and feedback on an audition for North Mass Ave that some people are a little bit on the fence on.
Yeah. Well, you know, it turned out to be a bit of a blessing anyway, because I've always been timid about ever doing a program on my own.
You
may be surprised, but I didn't want to be one of those characters who just howls at the moon, you know. Actually sitting there kind of waiting for you to show, and you're just, well, I'll just continue until Patrick gets here, actually worked out okay, because went through the whole time and I said, well, I've done it, okay, fine.
So no, I was watching my watch the whole time going, god damn it, I am definitely not making that.
Yeah. Anyway, it worked out okay, you know, so we're all right with that. Anyway, I think perhaps we should not in any way avoid sort of what is sort of the elephant in the Cambridge room right now, which is that, in this month, a couple weeks ago now, just about, was it January 4th, 13 days ago, was the police-involved fatal shooting of Arif Syed Faisal in Cambridgeport. You know, an incident that I heard about from some of the Central Square BID ambassadors. The word was sort of out on the street that there was something sort of big had gone down that day.
I heard it from Michael, actually, who called me and said
that would be Michael Monestime, right?
Something that was happening, and a friend of ours actually lives in that area, and it was like right in front of her house, so like was very close to home.
Yeah. And, you know, again, any fatality is certainly a tragedy. And, you know, all our hearts go out to the family and friends involved. But, you know, it is the over and above the pure tragedy of it all, the incident is sort of taking on a life of its own, just in terms of activism, you know, people coming out, people, you know, either just people being legitimately upset because if somebody died. And it's a kind of a rarity. I believe was it about 20 years since the last police involved shooting in Cambridge, something like that. It led to rallies at the city, at least two at City Hall that I'm aware of. There was a community meeting held over it on Putnam Avenue, at the Putnam Avenue, the King School, on Thursday last, I believe, which was noteworthy because it turned into such a kind of a heckling show, really. It kind of wasn't out of great value.
Well, this is a moment in time that will test our new manager. It will also test our somewhat new police commissioner. He said hearts go out to the family, and my heart goes out to the family as well, but also to the police officers who I know that there's no way any police officer woke up that morning saying this is what he wanted to have happen. And I think that, you know, there's a tragedy all around for our community when we lose somebody, even more so like this. But you know, there's a lot of questions, and really there's more questions than there are answers. And when a full report comes out, I think we can address that. And I think I'm thinking more as a father right now than I am just as a resident. But like, if this happened to my son, I'd be outraged. I want to burn the city to the ground. But as a citizen, the rest of us have to sort of let the family grieve and wait for a report and wait for answers to come, because reacting right now is just the worst thing we can do.
Right. And, in retrospect, I think maybe they had to have that meeting last Thursday, because the district attorney was there and sort of people were laying out the process, but since there was no way that they could really share details at this point, that wouldn't.
I'm not saying don't have meetings. I mean, people want to have meetings. They need to talk. They need to grieve. They need to express themselves. I just think that, you know, in terms of being definitive one way or the other about what had happened, is a mistake until you get all the details.
Right, and you know, in some, and actually, I would say in most respects, that meeting was sort of a a failure in the sense that even though our city manager, the police commissioner, Christine Elo, as well as the district attorney, Marion Ryan, you know, they were there with all the best intentions to sort of say as much as they could, to give perspective, to sort of tell what the whole process is. But from the very beginning, the activists in the crowd, most notably, as they were called out, a group that calls itself PSL Boston, that stands for Party for Socialism and Liberation, were there pretty much to exploit a difficult situation, basically to organize and promote themselves. And
throughout even COVID, Robert, I'm sorry to interject, like whatever ism you want to apply, but like these socialist groups in particular have sort of taken these moments of crises to really push an agenda that like seems like not even associated with the problem at hand. And you're left scratching your head saying like, you know, guys, like let's have a debate, but like right now is not the time. And like also, you know, how gross is it to try to push those kinds of things in these types of moments?
Right. And I mean, there are some specific things. I think there is an ongoing discussion, a legitimate discussion about alternate responses to emergencies.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we heard the proponents of the so-called HART proposal, mm-hmm. whatever you call it, that you know, has its roots about 2.5 years ago, yep. 2 years ago or so. And the city's, you know, still hasn't fully formed the new city department, community safety department. Cambridge Safety Department. And so I think it's completely legitimate for people to be asking, okay, so where do we stand on this? You know, are there any changes? And maybe the meeting that's scheduled for tomorrow afternoon, I think from 3 to 5, a special meeting of the Cambridge City Council. Specifically, I mean, yes, it's an open meeting with public comment. So I presume we're going to have sort of the same sort of absurdity that's going to happen that happened at the meeting this past Thursday in terms of, and let's just hope that the mayor can retain some decorum at the meeting there. But, you know, they are legitimately going to talk about, you know, sort of some people sort of bring up this peripheral issue of body cams for police officers.
It's important when we're talking about body cams, or even if people are asking why don't they have tasers. There's legitimate budget reasons and council reasons why those things don't exist. I mean, the police commissioners asked for body cameras, was never put in the budget. Tasers, I believe, were brought up in 2006. They were open to it. They were never funded. I think to look at the police and to say, oh, there are a bunch of alternative things that you guys could have done. And they're saying, well, we've been trying to do them for a long time. We've never been brought forward. There's also a huge assumption that had HART or the Cambridge Safety Department been in place, that somehow they would have rushed into the scenario. And I'm not sure it's this cut and dry. I can't claim to be an expert in this. I think I'm going to break Cambridge tradition and not talk about something definitively that I am not an expert in. But I think it's kind of like, it's a wild assumption to assume that in this given situation, which we don't know the full details about, that someone from HART or someone from even the Cambridge Safety Department would have charged in and fixed it.
Well, you know, there's, I mean, I've been sort of making a distinction. I think, you know, in a moment of crisis, it's a situation where people can exhibit leadership and where people can exhibit opportunism. And I will say flat out, our lead opportunist on the Cambridge City Council continues to be Quentin Zondervan, who, you know, took the opportunity at the city council meeting on January 9th to basically argue for, you either disarm or disband was the phrase he used in regards to the police officer. There was a presumption in every single word that he said that in fact the police department was necessarily guilty before there would be any process, information, or anything else. I'll also add that, you know, in terms of, I mean, one of the reasons why body cams are not yet sort of standard issue, because everybody I know in the police force basically says we wanted them.
Yeah.
You know, they actually see them as something that actually helps their case. You know, but you know, if you've got city councilors who basically under the guise of the surveillance ordinance feel like they have to question anything that could possibly record an image, whether it be body cams or our laryngoscope, this is actually true. Mr. Zondervan actually talked about if there was somebody was, there had been some trach job that, you know, in an emergency and they were withdrawing the camera from somebody's trachea, it might actually capture an image of somebody in the room or at the location. And that was a concern to him. And I thought, you know, in an environment like that, I don't even understand where the conversation is supposed to go.
And that's like, to me, there's a sick irony in that, that like the thing that probably would have helped the most in terms of this argument, it's not, a camera is not going to stop necessarily a bad thing from happening, but I do think it provides necessary transparency for the public.
Well, there's another thing, Mr. Zondervan, and again, I'm not here to primarily sort of focus on one city councilor here, but you know, he correctly said that in fact, in this particular situation, because of the circumstances involved, you know, with a large weapon, that in fact, it would have been a 911 call and the police would have to have been called regardless. But then he went on to say that if the HART program had been in place, they would have prevented this. In other words, and I think of this in terms of hubris, to sort of say, okay, so if you're gonna have a staff of a half a dozen people, right, who are somehow going to anticipate every possible mental health episode in every building, within every family throughout the city, so that they could somehow be so omniscient that they would be able to anticipate each and every possible scenario and therefore would have prevented this. I thought, give me a break. Just give me a break.
Well, you know? It's unfortunate that that is the angle he's chosen, because he's also the proponent of that. So from a political sense, you can see a lot of, you know, some the Venn diagram of his bias is pretty clear. But I think, you know, the question in my mind, especially when it comes to HART, like if the city is going to contract with an outside entity, there's an RFP process for that. There's a process for that. You can't just say, oh, we're going to give you X amount of dollars and have fun. And the other issue with HART is, like, I know only cursory information about them, but one of their biggest highlights is there's no they don't work with the police, and there's no accountability for the, to the city, which just as a private citizen, I find discomforting. I'm not sure I'd want any group to deal with the issues in Central Square, especially like we have the bid as an example that has no accountability to the city. That's, the very basis of their work, you want them to be trained properly. You want them to be up to date. You want them to have some correspondence with our safety department, as well as the city of Cambridge and the police and the fire department as well. Like, you know, it's just, we're, you know, I like to use the cheesy phrase, teamwork makes the dream work. And, right. You know, we need to act as a team. We can't act in individual silos just because we're uncomfortable with some aspect of how our society functions.
You know, one of the primary points I made at the December 14th Public Safety Committee, where they were meeting, where they were actually talking about.
A very brave moment for you, Mr. Yeah, Mr.
I know. You know, it's sometimes I like to chicken out, but, you know, I decided I had to actually go there and speak. And, you know, it's kind of tough being sort of the one person taking a point of view, which is contrary to everybody else in the room, who pretty much everybody else in the room was affiliated with this HART group.
Yeah.
But, you know, but one of the primary points I was trying to make, and I hope I made it, was that, you know, if the city manager, who really is being tested here,
yeah,
let's be clear, you know, and I think I have respect for the man, and but you know, this is like a hard test to sort of see whether the city manager.
I have respect for the office of the city manager. In terms of an individual, respect is earned. And while I like our new city manager as a person, I have, you know, to me, that he's new on the job. He just passed his 90 days. We need to see some how this. how our city is going to evolve over the next couple of years will be determined really in the next few months on how this is adjudicated and how this is handled.
I think that one of the biggest mistakes he could possibly make would be to actually set, because this is a man who I believe is very, very much aware of sort of organizational structure and, nice, you know, sort of making a city work well and, you know, function properly and whatever. I mean, things he's done up to date certainly give that indication. But to actually set things up in such a way that you actually have a contractor working supposedly under contract with this new community safety department, mm-hmm, which is, it's not even a matter of if, it's really a matter of at what point will, in right, fact, though the people associated with that program run directly up in opposition with the Cambridge Police Department and reach an impasse and a complete lack of cooperation. I mean, even now in the midst of this crisis, and really it is a bit of a crisis, the proponents of HART are coming out there and being absolutely hostile to the Cambridge Police Department. They are some of the loudest people accusations based on zero facts.
To my mind, how do we hire someone like this to come work with our city and our police in a way that is professional and really at the heart, no pun intended, of the safety of everybody in our city? Like, I'm, you know, the stuff that we deal with in the bid in Central Square, like if I gave you a full detailed report of some of our days, like you would be blown away. You know, the instances of mental health crises in the city that the police respond to, it's probably thousands a year, thousands. And you don't hear about them. You don't ever hear about them typically.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like I don't necessarily believe in defense by statistics, but you know, when, you know, this is the first officer involved fatal shooting in 20 years. And I know for a fact, just the police officers who work in Central Square actually have what could very easily be characterized as significant mental health interventions with people in Central Square multiple times every single day.
Oh yeah, in Central Square especially. And I'm the biggest advocate of my square, Central Square. But we have some issues, man. And but for the police and but for our ambassadors, we'd be in some real deep trouble. And I welcome Cambridge Safety Department. I'm a little bit on the fence on HART, but like we need, like I mean, officers didn't sign up for this job to do all this mental health work. And honestly, they shouldn't be there. It's like bringing a bazooka to a balloon fight. You don't need that. And sometimes you do, but like having some support. And that's my biggest issue is I deal with the morale of my team on the bid on a regular basis. And morale, sometimes it ebbs and flows. And, you know, if my guys don't feel supported by me or our board, like it's hard to get, you know, it's hard work. Even just picking up the literal crap on the street that we do, like it's demoralizing, especially if you don't have people backing you up. And I think this crisis and like other crises, like it's a moment in time for us to figure out a better way and to work together than it is, more so than it is a time to point the finger or try to.
If this city manager and our police commissioner and our mayor, who I think is in a unique position basically to exhibit leadership here for quite a few reasons, not the least, none of which I think I even need to spell out, right? But this is actually a moment for them to actually show that leadership. And I think really right now, I mean, everybody I've spoken to amongst police have always talked about how they welcome, you know, having, you know, working together with all these services that they're thrust oftentimes into the position of being the social workers.
Yeah.
They're more than happy to work with social workers and find better ways to respond.
But
in the midst of a crisis situation where there's a chain of events leading to a tragic outcome, you know, to sort of second guess and sort of retroactively decide how this could or should have been handled, you know, I think that's sort of an argument that goes nowhere. you know?
To me, it not only does it not go anywhere, it confuses the public to a degree, especially when it's coming from a city official. And it also, it sets the tone for other interactions that are going to follow. I mean, right now, Central Square is on pins and needles. Our concern was like, you know, how are we going to interact with the police, and is this going to affect other parts of our work? And I think like right now, like, I don't even want to talk about it. I want the report to come out. I want the family to be left alone and have their time to grieve, and to find answers for themselves. And I don't want to be a participant in the sideline peanut gallery conversation on this issue right now. I think right.
Some of our, you know, supposed political leaders apparently don't have any interest in process at all. I mean, whether it's a U.S. congressman like Ayanna Pressley, just coming flat out and having already made all the determinations necessary about what is fact, even though she has zero information. There was a rally in Harvard Square with our, sad to say, my state representative, Michael Connolly, who pretty much did the same thing based on zero information, making declarations, it's very disappointing to have people who are supposedly my representatives who represent me saying things that really are completely just wrongheaded and inappropriate. But that's what we got.
It's sad to see Mike doing that. I think like, every time I feel like I make a little bit of an inroad with him, like it's like that Paula Abdul song, we take one step forward, two steps back. I have to say Paula Abdul on your show. That's 2 points for me. the tweet from Ayanna, I saw that. I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I lurk and I watch. It's like Twitter is not a real place, fortunately. But it's just like you have influence, and what's the purpose of that? What did that serve? Because like in the same sentence that she was like, you know, condemning the police action as, you know, as a killing, she was also saying, let's wait for the report. And I'm like, well, which is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we live in a post-fact society, and, you know, all the conversations I'm having now are really about, how can we get us back on track? We're talking about the facts. How can we deal with everything in the world that we're dealing with right now, especially whether it's climate change or policing or the business districts and zoning and blah, 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 blah. Can we just have a conversation about the facts, please?
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing that I'm not here to indict the world, but, the way the press covers tough incidents like this, whether it's headlines or it's within the story itself, they'll talk about, you know, the Cambridge community is outraged, or the Cambridge community this, the Cambridge community that. You know, it's sort of like whenever anybody tries to characterize how the people feel in a city, I said, really, based on what? I mean, the truth of the matter is, for virtually everybody I talk to, they're basically asking just questions. They're not coming to conclusions. They're saying, we want to understand better. What happened? Should I feel outraged, or should I feel sympathetic to the police officer involved? People are pretty open-minded still at this point, but you would never know that to read the press coverage, in whether it's in the Harvard Crimson or one of the other local papers or blogs, or even a Boston Globe or Boston Herald article. You know, it's you go to a rally and you see some angry people, and then at that point you then draw conclusions about the community at large, and that's just not fair.
It gets you clicks, it gets you votes, it's exploitive. And it's like right now in the way our world is unfolding, like we really need honesty. We really need to stop reacting. We need to start focusing on getting, tackling some of these challenges, as opposed to looking for the one-liner or the catchphrase that gets you a little bit more traffic on your website, or maybe that one or two, maybe that number three vote turned into a number two vote because you went to this thing. And like, I fight enough with the council on things. I don't want to fight them. I don't want to fight with everything. I fight with Mike Connolly about the time of the day. But, you know, it's to me, it's I take it more seriously, especially in the loss of a life of a young man. And I just like, you know how I am, Robert. I get mushy when it comes to like, all I can think of is the father and mother, like losing their child. Like that's a tragedy that we should not be exploiting.
Right. I mean, that really should be the primary focus throughout, you know, is sympathy.
Yeah.
And empathy, you know, empathy. And a little bit of a look to the future. And we'll see what happens when they meet for this special meeting tomorrow, if there's anything, any sort of new discussion about how, well, this is really what the police department has always wanted. Is there a better way that we can actually, let's just make some decisions now and move in a direction that's supportive of, you know, so that the police can do their job as well as possible and in a way that is as responsive to everybody in the city as is possible, you know? But again, you know, as we've said multiple times, you know, it's inescapable that there's some particular individuals who are sort of right at the center of this focus here, such as the city manager, the police commissioner, the mayor, to a lesser degree, the individual city councilors. But by the way, in their defense, most of whom were not jumping to conclusions and were not throwing out inflammatory rhetoric. I mean, I only know two councilors who I think I would say seem to be trying to exploit the situation, you know. But for the most part, I think they were kind of appropriately holding back, and I'll give them credit for that. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, we're down to 25 seconds
before we
take our 3-minute break here. You know, so for the next half hour, we'll talk about other matters. But I think it was just simply no way to not put this issue front and center, because it was such a central issue and such a rarity, really, in Cambridge. So it had to be.
Agreed.
So anyway, we'll be back shortly on Cambridge Inside Out.